The devil with such wrath knows he has to change his strategy. And the strategy is this. I'm going after their very faith. I'm going after their homes, their marriages. I'm going to try to paralyze every spiritual man and woman on the face of the earth.
There's something in you that says, I can do more. This just can't be it. There's something in you. There's a calling on your life. But I got a saying, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what's in store for you if you challenge yourself, if you persist and persevere.
Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process.
Oh, it is a frigid one here in Leavenworth, Kansas. I don't know about you where you are. I hope you're warmer than we are. I think we got to 1 degree today. When I got up this morning, it was -6. That's just wrong. Air shouldn't hurt, you know, as you just pass through it. So this is Cole Davis with the Lions Path Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this evening. Like I said, we are broadcasting from Leavenworth, Kansas, and we are excited to be here with you. We are excited for tonight's show. We're going to push the limits a little bit. I like pushing limits, don't you? I like pushing back against the enemy. I like taking things that the Father created from his hand that he has corrupted and using them for his purpose once again. I know that you enjoy that as well. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. What else we got? All right, gentlemen, gmvevents.com, gmvevents.com, March 15th through the 16th in Texas. All the information's there. This is a great one. This is a great package that's being offered. And I'm going to tell you right now, fellas, that I got a feeling that if you miss this one, you're going to miss out on something powerful. I know we say that every time, but this one in my gut, the work the Father's been doing on me lately, I think in anticipation for this coming, the rest of this calendar year, whatever you want to call it, I think that you are going to miss out if you don't come big time. So come get blessed, come get worked on, come get beat up, come get humbled, come get emboldened, come get encouraged. Whatever you need, come get it. So, all right, gmvevents.com. Unitedinworship.org, two dates coming up. Unitedinworship.org, a tremendous conference in the Southeast this year. Go to that website. Okay. So we have a need. I will give you kind of a little bit of a report, if you will. We have a need. Somebody has reached out for deliverance specifically, intently, and desperately. We've lost a few donors, monthly donors, and that's we get it. You know, some people move on and take their resources, invest them elsewhere in the kingdom. Awesome. At the same time, we have a need, and it's a little outside of our normal budget. It is a lady that we know that is asking for deliverance, who is requesting some help. It's kind of short notice. That's the reason we're asking. It's a little outside of what we would normally pay. I really don't want to put it on a credit card. I really don't want to do that. I want to obviously give the people of Yah a chance to help another member of the kingdom. She just needs a little guidance right now. We need about $300 for a plane ticket to get down to Florida from Kansas City. And I can tell you right now that it's gonna be a powerful event. I just feel the Father working in his people these days, and it's so great. And then people are crying out, and they have asked, this lady has asked for me specifically, if you feel the need to support us, that would be tremendous. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that, as would she. You know, when it comes to the ones, the Father goes after the ones. Thank goodness that he does, right? He goes after that one sheep, and he sends shepherds to do it. So if you would be so kind to really prayerfully consider that, if you don't have anything to give, by all means, offer your prayers up, because we covet those the most. That's a bad word to use, isn't it? We desire your prayers in that. Okay, so $300, and we're good. So I can handle the rest. It's the short notice of that, and we won't, trust me, I'm not flying first class, you know, anything like that. I don't even get upgraded. So anyways, so just a humble way to get down there, rescue, do the work of the Father, offer his rescue to this lady and get her to a better place, get her over her strongholds. You know, that's the work we love to do. So if you would help us out with that, that'd be tremendous. Okay. The way you can do that is on thatday.org. go to the bottom, hit the donate button, hit for the specific purpose. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, that'd be great. So if we can, so we don't have to ask for special things like this, the Father provides through his people. That is a tremendous time. Okay, enough about money. We lay it out there for you. Pray that you would consider it. All right. Last week, we got some really good feedback from the prayer episode that we did with regard to the people in the nations. And brothers and sisters, on that note, we do want to start in prayer this evening. I think I've got a little further application for that. And then we're going to talk about some mechanics, some nuts and bolts of our spiritual walk. It's going to be a good time. Okay. So if you would join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just bless you and praise you this evening for the work that you're doing in your body, the work that you are doing to call people out of the nations. We just praise you. We are in awe of your power and in your proficiency in fulfilling your prophecy. And we are humbled that we are part of that prophecy. We just pray now that you would be with me this evening and give the message your people need to hear. I pray that if there's something that is not of you, that it would not come out of my mouth. I ask for that holy filter to come and put it down in front of my heart, in front of my mouth, and in front of my mind. Father, we want you to get all the glory this evening, and we just praise you and bless you in Yeshua's name. And may this word go and reach the people that it needs to reach. You use us in your plans, all of us in your plans, and we are so grateful and honored and privileged to be part of your kingdom and to be part of your servanthood. And we just thank you so much in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. Okay. So, hope everybody is doing well. Okay, so where are we going to start? I got notes, and I think that we'll have enough to complete the show. But if we don't, and I talk fast like it seems like I'm doing now as I settle into this material, I pray that we have time, we can answer some questions. I think this is going to be one of those practical nuts and bolts show that you all say that you really like. It definitely is one of those deals where the Father's revealing a ton to me in the realm of deliverance about how deliverance is a total package. It is not only, you ask for healing in the body, you ask for healing in the emotions and the wounds that we have, and we ask for healing in the spirit and restoration and enemies to get off of us and emotions to be settled. You notice that there's a strand of three. Each one of us is a strand of three. And when we have all three of those things in line, and healthy and strong, I think Ecclesiastes says a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. So I want to be so tough in that only the Father can break me. You know what I mean? And I welcome it, because I was saying before we came on the air that I have gone through a season of sifting lately, and I'm going to tell you, the Father took some things out of me, refocused me, reignited me, re-excited me. And brothers, it is tough to go through those times. It is really hard. You get through the despair. You get down to a place where all you can do, you are completely powerless to stop it. However, and you could pray against it all day long. It persists, and it persists, and it persists. It's part of his process. If you're rebuking the enemy and he's not moving, you are being sifted. And in those moments, as much as it hurts, as much as it's painful, as much as it's those moments where you go, oh, I don't think I can go on. And then all of a sudden you go to scripture and see that every person of any substance of faith went through the exact same thing. I am so grateful now that it's over. So grateful to have gone through it, because my joy of my salvation has been restored. And I pray that you would consider, I don't think it's up to us necessarily when it comes. But if you want to grow spiritually, that's part of the process. You're going to have some things taken out of you. Okay. So brothers and sisters, we need to understand something about what we are doing as far as spirituality goes. Okay. First of all, when it comes to things like mind, body, soul, spirit, warfare, there's warfare in every single aspect of our whole creation. And as most of us know, that whatever we do in one greatly affects the other. So if I become a believer, all of a sudden my emotions come into line. My body begins operating. I get a blessing from that. And part of that is the blessing on the fruit of the body, on what we do, what our hands do, what we put our work to. And it is a tremendous gift. At the same time, as we are growing in this, and I do believe that one of the signs of the end is this, is in Daniel 12, verse 4. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. What I find interesting about that statement is, you know, we try our best on the show to put knowledge in its proper place. And its proper place in that it is one of those things that is a gift from the Heavenly Father. It is a gift of His work, and He reveals Himself through that knowledge, through the scriptures, through the wisdom of life, all those type of things, all the spirits that are talked about in Isaiah 11. At the same time, you notice that there's no morality or sin or ethics or anything attached to these two signs of the end time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Okay? I think it's a miracle that I'm talking to you in the warmth and comfort of my home, and I'm talking to people, literally a gentleman's on, a friend of mine that I got to spend some time with from New Zealand. That's amazing. On the other side of the planet, literally a day and a half almost, a day and a quarter, however the math is, ahead of us. I think that's amazing. And we go to and fro. If you have the money, you could get to Israel tonight, tomorrow, however it works. Many are going to and fro. Those are good things. Many times, I mean, I don't see any type of ethics or morality or any sinfulness attached to that. So as knowledge is increasing, we have people in the world today paying more attention to Yah's creation. Okay? See, the observation of Yahweh's creation is essential to our walk. It is essential to our walk. To be able to explain and demonstrate the will of the Father made into physical, empirical creation is an absolute essential element of our walk. You see David do this in Psalm 8, verses 3 through 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Isn't that a wonderful phrase? I mean, it's so vivid, and it's not. He's looking at the stars in the heavens, and he's looking at everything. He's looking at the creation of the Father going, what? You create the power that you exhibited and exerted to create all this, and you still take time to consider us. It's amazing to me that David came down to, he had like an epiphany, He had an epiphany. He had one of those philosophical worldview changing moments where he's going, man, literally man, what is it that, what is it about us that the Heavenly Father would even take notice of us? So in the last days, knowledge is going to go to and fro. I think that we have in many ways in this world today, and I know not everybody around the world is on the same page. And I know there are people who disagree. You know, a lot of us, you know, when you hear this in Psalms 8, many of us have a different vision of, you know, the shape of the earth and all these type of things. Let me extend an olive branch, if I will, out there, okay? I can tell you this. Whatever we receive that information as, I pray my brothers who may disagree with me on this, and there's a movement out there today, can we both agree and extend the olive branch that it is a wonderful, miraculous, powerful vision that we see what the Father has made, and yet He still chose us? Can we forgive each other for having different receptions, if you will, you know? But knowledge will increase, and people will travel to and from. See, the enemy, if you will, has corrupted both elements of that prophecy in our day. Knowledge has increased abundantly, yet he hijacked it not with empirical scientific evidence. He did it with philosophy. How we interpret facts, not necessarily the facts, not the fact that there are dinosaur bones in the ground. And people, there are many people out there that would say these are intentionally put in to cause people to fall and the gospel to be ruined. I don't agree with that. I think it's a sign that the flood happened, yet our unbelieving secular brothers, other secular earth mates, if you will, other fellow humans, regard it differently, and they have a different philosophy. It's not the object is not the issue. It's how it's used, how it's interpreted. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't throw out Yah's handiwork with the bathwater. Okay? Calling evil good and good evil, a lot of us, you know, get caught up in that, and we said, you know, this is evil, this is evil, this is evil. And I go, hang on a second. If the Father created it, and He created it good, if He called it Tov in one of those 7 days at the beginning, it is the ground that is cursed, and it is the and it is us that's been punished or altered, if you will. What He created, I believe, is still good. What he created it for is still the ultimate purpose of it. So when we start calling things of the world evil, and I'm going to put this out there, I personally believe that everything that was created, that was used in the creation and the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness, came straight from Egypt. I don't believe that that Israel got anything that didn't come from their Egyptian neighbors. It very well could be, and this may sound like blasphemy to some folks, but just hear me out. The Father created the gold. Man corrupted it into an idol. Man then turned it back into possibly the menorah or coated the Ark of the Covenant with it. The element itself is not bad. How it has been corrupted is bad. You know, we must get past these theological implications of this and move toward a creation aspect as well, meaning most of our modern world does not speak in theological terms. They speak according to what their eyes see. The issue is that the philosophy of our day is that the idea of creation is foreign to most, and the answers we need to the questions of secular humans today are thematic. They're not going to talk to you about what the Bible says about creation. They're going to talk to you about creation in general. And we have to be ready to provide an answer to that, to steer them back toward and provide an answer for the hope that exists in us. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. See, we more often than not seek out scripture that proves our point. And when we bring this to a non-spiritually minded person, it does not connect because they don't use that spiritual muscle regularly, and they don't see the Bible as having any credibility. And the enemy, more than anything, has blinded them to the reality, the Most High anyways. So for us to come in with this, they're not going to see what we see. And the reason I'm going through all this, brothers, is that we have to be very careful that we are not avoiding interacting with the world, that we are going out and using the authority we've been given to use the Holy Spirit to reach the lost sheep. I am not a Calvinist by any means. If whatever happens, happens, that's not scriptural. You know, I don't know if I'm, say, predestination. God's got the plan already. What do I need to do anything for? Then why are we commanded to go out and preach the gospel? It still falls on us. We are still in joint heirs with the Messiah in that, let me put it a different way, we are partners with him in reaching his family. And thankfully, anyone who has an ear to hear can join that family. Join that kingdom. Call him Abba Father the same way we can now. Romans 1 verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. They're without excuse, brothers, and they're going to be judged when it comes to that point. Let me say, we are without excuse then for letting them walk by us. And I convict myself with this. We're letting them walk by us without telling them what's happening. You know, I hear, and this is going to sound like a rebuke, and maybe it is. When we're calling down judgment on states like New York and now Virginia and Rhode Island, and there's a bunch more that are popping up with this view and on this demonic view of abortion now, can we honestly sit and say, when we're calling down judgment, that we have done everything we can to reach those people who made that decision? Have we prayed enough? And I know that sounds works-based, but you know, you say you have faith, show me your works. I can tell, let me ask you, before we throw that rock, before we call down fire, before we call down everything, and keep in mind that the two of the disciples wanted to do that to a town that rejected Yeshua, and he rebuked them. So brothers and sisters, before we call down judgment, let's make sure we've done our job first, because judge not lest you be judged. And I mean this sincerely. Do your job and let the Father deal with that. Do your job and let the Father deal with that. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of Elohim. For we do not preach ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Yeshua's sake. For Elohim, who said, let light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim in the face of Messiah. You know, many of us are still, and I'm going to say us in this Hebrew walk, whatever it is, messianic, whatever you want to call yourself, fine with me. Many of us in this Hebrew walk are still going through a little bit of a transition and coming to new theological conclusions and applications. And basically we're still, what many of us are still working out what we personally believe in this season of growth and discovery and revelation, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. But my brothers and sisters, be careful what you accept as truth, because many of them, there is a corruption to this. There is doctors of demons that can drag you away and things like that. And I will tell you this, anything that takes your focus off of doing what the Messiah told us to do, anything that diminishes the Messiah, anything that causes you to question the Messiah, and they'll say, this is where knowledge becomes your idol instead of knowledge being part of the Holy Spirit. Keep in mind, one of the spirits of Elohim is the spirit of knowledge. The spirit of knowledge is never going to take you away from the Messiah, ever. It is in that verse in Isaiah 11 that's talking about the Messiah. On the stump of Jesse is Messiah, Yeshua. On that stump will fall these seven spirits. The spirit is not going to testify something different that the Messiah is anything but he says he is. Okay? Many of us are going through this transition, and it's okay. But be very careful. Be very careful. We can talk more about that. We've done doctrines of demons, the anti-Messiah spirit, and things like that. But so the goal of our walk today is still spreading the good news of the kingdom. The fact that there even is an eternal unseen king whose invisible attributes are clearly visible. Why did I write that? That didn't make sense. The goal of our walk today remains the spreading of the God and good news of the kingdom. This is one of those moments Father keeps you humble. Okay, never mind. Strike that. It was an incomplete sentence. Sorry, missed it in my proofreading. When it comes to providing the answers to the unbelieving world, we are not merely operating in the potential spontaneous academic theological test, meaning the world is not going to give us a pop quiz about our Bible knowledge. Most of the time they give us a pop quiz, if you will, about our philosophy, but the scriptures say that we actually don't give an answer to what we believe. We give an answer and a defense for something much more than just why we believe or what we believe. We have to give an answer and a defense about the fruit of hope that we are displaying. In 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Messiah as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing that which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Messiah will be put to shame. That is incredibly difficult to do. I'm coming out of a season of that myself, where I in this walk, something that's going to happen is that you're going to be slandered, and you talk to your teachers and you start comparing notes. People say things about you that are flat aren't true, or they intend. I don't know if they're intentionally doing it. They're hurt, whatever it may be. Sometimes you step on a nerve, but at the same time, the hope that we have within us is something that we have to grab a hold of, and we also have to be ready to defend it, not just our Bible knowledge, but the hope, which is the evidence of our faith. Why are you in such a place? Number one, you have to be demonstrating that you're in this place. You wouldn't believe, when I hear a believer who complains all the time, I'm like, boy, that is not the fruit of the Messiah. If you have had this burden lifted off of you of shame and sin and everything like that, you had that lifted off of you, sing a song. Praise him. And we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to get into some practical spiritual applications. Hey, welcome back to the Lions Path. This is Cole Davis in Leavenworth, Kansas. Thank you for joining us this frigid evening. I think it's 5 degrees outside here in Kansas. And it's one of those nights that makes you very grateful for what you've got. And I am, Father, we praise you for it. And I know many other people right now don't have this, and we pray for them. And if we, Father, give us the opportunity to reach out to them and do something nice, and do something that in your name that brings a relief to suffering. Okay, so the whole first half, we were talking about getting our eyes back on spreading the gospel. In this day and age, we seem so intent, Father, let judgment fall. Okay, well, hang on a second. Have we done our job yet? I can tell you that if we have the knowledge of the word and we have the testimony of Yeshua and we're not reaching the lost, we really don't have a right to call down judgment. We really don't. Do your job, do it well, do it earnestly, and then when they don't listen, then we can call down and say, Father, have your will. And I can tell you, anybody in the scripture who saw the Father actually rain down judgment, it was a powerful thing that caused them to wish that it had never had to happen. So be very, very careful about calling that down. Okay. We live here too, folks, you know, so seek the welfare of the city. Anyways, so the science of miracles is something that there's interesting thoughts lately and some research I've been doing. And I pray that you'll follow me on this a little bit. And I'm going to start right off the bat, and I'm going to deal with this. No, this is not New Age. This is what New Age uses, corrupts that the Father has made, the ideas that the Father has done, and the things that he's set up and the mechanisms that he has and all those type of things, that they corrupt and hijack for a corrupt purpose, okay? But if you look at the science of miracles, there's something that's interesting in this New Age, like we said at the beginning of the hour. Knowledge has increased, so we have a new knowledge, and I do believe it is true. Enough people have corroborated this and seen it and things that there is a quantum physics level. There is building blocks of creation and matter and atoms and things like that. We see the handiwork of the Father in the greatest pictures of the sky, but also the most infinitesimal molecule and atom, and we see the thoroughness of his handiwork. And I believe there's probably things below that. If there's infinite bigness, there's a theory, there's infinite smallness. And I do believe that because it's infinite. Infinity goes both directions. Okay. So science of miracles. So it seems like a juxtaposed idea. It seems like you can't have the same. And I think many believers kind of go, well, it happens in the spirit, then it happens. Well, in the spirit, did you notice that in so many of the miracles, the Messiah prays does a spiritual act that affects a physical change in somebody, that he somehow alters, if you will, follow me. And I don't necessarily like using this word. It's got a loaded thing, but let's just follow me with it. When I say this, I don't mean it with a drop of New Age, like I said. Spiritual force changes energy, changes matter, shifts matter. So when Yeshua was healing everyone that he healed in the scriptures, his spiritual energy caused a shift in the quantum physics realm, this is my theory, which led to a visibly evident change in a person for a specific reason. I think that is incredibly fascinating. He came against everything that caused his people to be afflicted. Many times that was demons. That was another spiritual issue. But then it was also leprosy. It was also emotional wounding from mourning and things of that nature, and a hurt among brothers and sisters. And he'd come against emotions of pride. He'd come against emotions of grief. So he would hit every spectrum of creation and people that he would meet in some shape, form, or fashion. I believe that the human being is one of the most powerful entities there is. We are made in the image of Yah. And it is shown over and over again, power from the Most High, the spiritual power. God is spirit, Elohim is spirit, and he moves and causes a physical reaction in our realm. You see it, of course, in Luke 1:35 with the conception of the Messiah. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of Elohim." The Holy Spirit literally caused and created a physical response. Isn't that amazing? You know, many times we see in the scriptures that Yeshua is walking through and power is leaving him and changing the physicality of people. Luke 6, 17 through 19, Yeshua went down, came down with them and stood on a level place. And there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured, and all the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. Could it be the enemy has corrupted something, hijacked something? You know, it's amazing to me sometimes it feels like when it comes to actually envisioning something and calling out something to happen in faith, and intention and motivation. Heavenly Father, we know you can heal this person. We know you can deliver this person. Resisting the adversary is an intentive, I don't even know if that's a word, is a force of intention from a person. I intend to resist him. It is a motivation. It is a power from within that I am going to resist the adversary, and it says that he will flee from you. And of course, in Mark 5, chapter 30, you have the woman who reaches out, and Yeshua feels power leave him. Now, power is a safe word to use in this. It's an incredibly safe word. We're so used to this word in a spiritual concept or a context. Let's change it a little bit because I do believe it's the exact same thing. Energy left him. Now, that's a different context. That's a different spin, if you will. That's something that people don't really have comfort with. You know why? Because the New Age and witchcraft has hijacked that word. But I can tell you in the context of that language today, energy, we think of energy as something so practical as right near us. Well, the Father is power. The Father is an all-consuming fire. Fire is energy. Energy being expressed. And people, here, you know, we talk about this, that the nature of power, the very essence of power, is to create change. Create change, whether constructive or deconstructive. It takes power or energy to construct a building. It also takes power and energy to destroy it. The intentions in the hearts, the mechanics of existence and interaction with the spiritual realm. When we talk about the mechanics of the spiritual realm, understand that the spiritual realm is an energetic place. Now, before you go, Cole has lost his mind. Let me make sure that you understand I am not speaking that we are all energy. God is energy, therefore we are God. That is the essence boiled down of New Age philosophy. I am absolutely not saying that. The Father is separate yet intimate with us. Okay? So, a lot of people get offended by this because it's interesting that the enemy has put the things in place. The things that he's corrupted is when spirituality gets practical. When we call on things to happen within our bodies, within someone else's body, within their emotions, within their spirit, whatever it may be, people get very uncomfortable because keep in mind that the Messiah is delivering people and they accuse him of using the devil's handiwork. Yet he's the one that's using the deliverance and the will of the Most High. So I don't respond anymore to people who call praying for change in someone's body or life or whatever, or just thinking on an energetic plane of how the Father might have changed through the hands of the Messiah, through the Spirit, would have given someone eyes to see, would have said, I have neither silver nor gold, now get up and walk. They obviously changed something in someone's body. The mechanics of interaction. Now, witchcraft and New Age are both hijackers of what the Father instituted and made. Both New Age and witchcraft models place the central motive for their spiritual practices as the accomplishment of one's own spiritual will or to seek knowledge outside of the Most High's will. In no way am I advocating that. I have to keep saying this over and over again. My brothers and sisters in this Hebrew walk, we have become so sensitive when it comes to saying things like pagan or occult. Yes, those things are out there, but we have to reason, we have to analyze before we immediately disregard something. That bronze serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness looked an awful lot like, if follow me on this, looked an awful lot like idolatry, but it was within the Father's will and became the example of Yeshua being lifted up. John 3:14 and 15, before John 3:16. So brothers, this is going to offend, but it's, you know, we have to not call something that is good with the, you know, we always go, don't call evil good. Okay, great, but don't call good evil either. If the Father created it and it's being used for his purpose, it is good. If we are using it for our own purpose to seek something outside of his will, knowledge outside of him, it is bad. It is evil. That's Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And like I said, I want to reiterate this. I want to reiterate this. Be careful, my Hebrew brothers, about giving Beelzebub credit for creating something the Father created and set in motion. The devil never creates, he only corrupts. He steals, kills, and destroys, but he never creates. He does not have that power. Does not have it. He is corruptive. Ephesians 3:20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Now think about that. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand on a practical level, the practical place of spirituality is this. The Holy Spirit is expelling energy within you to bring about change in your heart, soul, and body. He is doing this. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking. When we talk about these power, we're not talking about something arbitrary that happens that sounds like a good idea. To him be the glory in the assembly and in Messiah Yeshua throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit change you. Let him change you. Let him do his work. And brothers and sisters, we are called to do the work through that Spirit. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Be skillful in the work the Father has given you. Physical, spiritual, and emotional. It blew my mind many times, was that there were people that, it takes sometimes skill to navigate your own emotions rather than not fly off, to sit there and go, I had to learn how to calm down and learn how to. So there is a book, and I don't agree with everything this lady says, obviously, but it was called The Molecules of Emotion, and it talks about how emotions exist and live in every single element. She's proved this. She's a neuroscientist, that emotions live in every single cell in our body. And she says this, emotions are the nexus between matter and mind, going back and forth between the two and influencing both. Emotions will affect your spiritual relationship with the Father, and they will affect your body. The Spirit will affect your emotions and your body. Your body can affect your emotions, like they talk about all these things about today, like poor gut health and things like that, will cause you to feel depressed. If you eat nothing but sugar, you're going to feel terrible. It will affect your emotions. We have to maintain and take care and tend to all three aspects of us. Because if our emotions are poor, then we think we're being punished. We don't have any joy. We forget the goodness of the Father. We forget to taste that he is good and beautiful. What most of us have trouble with is this. There is tension sometimes between two aspects of Scripture. The stand still and let the Father fight for you. And then you see, literally, with the fighting of Amalek, we pick up the sword and go fight. The reason we don't like the tension between the two is because we don't know which one to do at what time. We are completely reliant on him and his direction. On him and his direction. You know, I could feel it already, and that, you know, the people out there are already saying I'm stepped off into something new. The Father's creation is whole. You know, there's so many things that we throw out because we're scared. Yet every person that made a scientific breakthrough up until about 150 years ago was a deep follower of the Most High. Isaac Newton was a Hebrew scholar who insisted that one day the prophecies will be taken at face value and will not be taken figuratively. They will be taken literally. One of the original and most famous physicists. See, Proverbs 28, verse 26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Father, teach us your ways, teach us your wisdom. Teach us your ways and teach us your wisdom. Amos 3, verse 7, for the Lord Elohim does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that when you receive a word from the Most High, that is spiritual energy going into your physical brain? It crosses the plane. Spiritual energy crosses the plane and goes into your brain. Demons do it all the time with intrusive thoughts, negative thoughts. When we accept them as true, they become our reality. They cross into something that manifests in front of us, in our bodies and in our minds. We saw Yeshua deliver a woman from a demon that had physically afflicted her and bent her over for 18 years. Brothers and sisters, it's happening whether you want it to or not, that the enemy is using the physical, using spiritual and physical weapons against us. We need to be people that embrace the spiritual inside our core in every aspect of us. Let it in to your body. Let that Holy Spirit into your body and let it work in you. Let it work in you, just as Paul says it was. See, intention, human intention actually affects matter, they have found, on the molecular level. Our desire, our words, I think that's scriptural, the physical sound waves coming out of our mouth can cause spiritual reactions and vice versa. Intention is the word that keeps popping up in my spirit for this week's show. The feelings and emotions of intent are such that if they are hobbled or hurt in any way, then the wounded person has trouble trusting themselves to fight for themselves or for the Father's will in their lives. It creates lies that the enemy perpetuates because he has a place within you that brings to the front of your mind whenever healing or the desire to resist presents itself. He pushes that painful spot and causes you to question yourself and your abilities and your desires. Am I really doing what's right? The mind then becomes an ally as it receives the pain from the wound, and over the years you have conditioned yourself to giving into whatever stimulus will cause you to avoid hurting in that area. Something I've seen in ministry and counselors have seen for years. It is astounding the lengths human beings will go for the avoidance of pain. The mental gymnastics we'll do, the things that we avoid, the dysfunction that we'll step into to avoid facing pain, discomfort, and ultimately change. See, intention, that force within us when we go, Father, I reach out to you in my intentions. I think our Jewish brothers really understand this. When you watch them pray, they are pushing forward with everything in them. When we pray, it is the personal steering of one's personal energy for a particular purpose. You know, if you will, another way to say intention is purposeful behavior. Behavior that has a particular and recognized goal in mind. The behavior that will aid in achieving that goal. You know, it's interesting that on the negative side, Hebrews 10:26, for if we go on sinning deliberately with purpose, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we have received the knowledge of truth, yet we continue in sin, there's not much else we can do. There is no more sacrifice for us, according to Hebrews. And I'm not talking about not. I mean, this is persisting in sin without repentance, deliberately, meaning that's the key phrase here. All of us are going to sin, and we have His grace, and we have the ability to repent and go, Father, I want to learn and grow from this. I want to change the fact that that mechanism did that automatically, that my flesh wants that automatically. Colossians 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You notice that that's a commandment. We have to intend. You know, many times we ask the Father to do stuff for us that He commanded us to do. You know, you notice that's a command for us to put to death things within us. My point in saying this is this. Let's see, where's my verse here? Intense, purposeful action and purposeful behavior is so important to this. It's so important to our walk. Intentions in prayer. Pray as though you have received what you have prayed for. It's not saying that no matter what I ask, it's going to be answered, but I'm praying with intention. Father, I'm bringing this to you. I'm not asking to see if you'll do it. I'm coming with you with intention, with purposeful behavior to go, Father, I desperately need this. Or Father, we would love this blessing, whatever it may be, to come humbly. The same lady that I was talking about, her name's Candace Pert, and like I said, I don't agree with everything. But she says this as a neuroscientist. She says, the way our brain is wired, we only see what we believe is possible. We only see what we believe is possible. We match patterns that already exist within ourselves through conditioning. Brothers and sisters, some people go, I'm worried about the other shoe dropping. I'm worried about things falling on me. I'm worried about things that are going to come around. I know that I'm going to fall back into this behavior, that you have to persist purposefully to move past that and daily take up your execution stake, to put to death those things within you so that you can become reconditioned, that you can train yourself, that things can be renewed and restored and overdone and things of that nature. We have the authority to do that, and we've been commanded to do so. When people want to see the deliverance of the Most High, you will see on the other side, more than anything, you will see that He has enabled us in our authority in Messiah to overcome everything, overcome ourselves, overcome these bad behaviors, overcome this. With the renewal of our mind, we can do this. See, the other thing that we've been given is the ability to see with our mind's eye. This is absolutely 100% been corrupted by the new age. The third eye, whatever I see, I can manifest. We can do whatever we want. That is witchcraft and new age. We're talking about this. Ephesians 1, 17 through 18, that the Elohim of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. That has to be not just a spiritual principle. We have to get out of this Gnostic knowledge and separation between knowledge and reality. No, they go together as one, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, emotions, will, and body. Let the work be done. I know that my flesh is a stumbling block to me. I know these things. I know, Father, but I, through you, can overcome. I, through the Holy Spirit, can change my behavior. To continue, as 1 John 3 says, to continue to purify yourself. To continue in sin is to have neither seen Him nor known Him. To act as though His deliverance, His salvation had no effect in you, in either of the three. We pray that you would continue your walk and embrace the glory of the Most High. We'll see you next week. Shalom.